let me quickly do the relative completion. So if we have a mapping class group, so if you have gamma G, say N plus R, we don't get too hung up on all the decorations. You need them, but you know what I mean? This guy, you can just forget all the decorations and, for example, include this guy into a closed surface, just tap everything off, forget that you had any points, and just get a closed surface with no points. And this guy here is going to map into the automorphisms of, say, H1 of the surface. And I'll put, you can put any coefficient, I'll put any ring here, you can, any commutative ring. And this is that H1 of S has an intersection pairing from H1 of S into H1 of S into H0, which is just R. Right? You can take two curves and intersect them. And it's actually a symplectic form. We all know that, you know, if you set up the intersection pairing, you can take a basis of homology that looks like this. So this will have a symplectic basis, say A1, AG, B1, BG, where the intersection numbers are AJ dot BK equals delta JK. Any two of the A's don't intersect and any two of the B's don't intersect. So, so preserving the intersection pairing. And this group here is isomorphic to, once you've chosen a basis, SPGR. I'm actually going to call this group here SPH, where H is equal to H1 of the surface. Again, there are many notational problems in this subject that I have to sort of grapple with. I've tried to make the, it's very good to use SPH instead. Some people would put 2G here, by the way. But because we'll sometimes have several different surfaces of the same genus, and they'll have different H1s, and you don't want to write SPG for all of them, you get nonsense. Anyway, so here's a fact, is that gamma G N plus R maps onto SPGZ. And then it's a theorem of Borel that says that this guy here maps into the algebraic group SPGQ. This is Zariski dense. So this is an algebraic group. And what does Zariski dense mean? It means if you take any subgroup of this guy, which contains the image of SPGZ, that's an algebraic group. So if you take any algebraic subgroup of this containing the image of this, it has to be the whole thing. So, and so this therefore this guy is Zariski dense. So and somehow this homomorphism is important in lots of places. So in genus 0, which many people here do, this group is trivial. Okay, so relative unipotent condition. So what's the input? You have gamma as equal to a discrete group. F equals a field of characteristic zero. As before, R is equal to a reductive F group, a group over F, algebraic group over F. And you have a homomorphism, rho takes gamma into the, I'll write it this way because I've done it here, into the F rational points of the group. And the example you want is gamma G N plus R. F, it could be Q or anything.
else of characteristic zero. R is going to be SPG. And rho is this representation over here. Rho takes gamma G N plus R into SP G say Q is the homomorphism over there. And so what's the relative completion? So the completion of gamma relative to rho consists of one and affine F group. I guess this is just the same as saying it's a proalgebraic. So that proalgebraic means inverse limit of algebraic groups. So, which is an extension by the way, before I go any further, unipotent completion is going to be covered by the case R equals the trivial group. Right? So it's an extension, let's call this guy G. G into R into 1 into U into 1, where U is pro-unipotent. So if I took R to be the trivial group, G itself would be unipotent. And two, a homomorphism, rho takes, maybe I'll call it rho hat, which takes gamma into the F rational points of the group. Again, I'll often drop the F. And you require this to satisfy these satisfy by the way, this guy here, I'll say it now, but this is necessarily Zariski dense, meaning the image, if you have a pro-algebraic subgroup of G that contains the image of this, it has to be all of the group. So these satisfy, given a homomorphism, let me just draw it like this. I'm going to drop the rational points. So if you happen to have some group, algebraic group, that's an extension of R by a unipotent, so this is unipotent, this is algebraic, or affine, and you have a homomorphism here, maybe I'll call this phi, such that this composition here was the original rho, right? So you have this diagram, then you have unique homomorphism G into G. Actually, I'll just draw it like this. I've got G R U 1. Just think of it as a map of extensions G into R. Whoops. And then such that your gamma, this homomorphism, so you're going to have this homomorphism here. Here's the universal guy, and so your homomorphism phi here factored through this guy here. Right? And if we put if we just take, put R equal the trivial group, these are the identities, just the universal mapping property of unipotent completion. So it's just universal for maps into such extensions. And so I'm not going to say much about the construction other than that it's, you can give it some equivalent construction. So let's so construction, you can maybe even guess, T is equal to the Tanakian category of representations of gamma so these are finite dimensional representations of gamma where V has a filtration V0 VR equals V by submodules, by gamma submodules, such that each, such that the action of gamma on each VJ mod VJ minus 1, so these are all modules. So let's see, so we're going to each VJ mod VJ minus 1 is going to be an R module, a representation of the algebraic group. And so the action of gamma on each graded quotient factors through an action of the algebraic group. And this is a reductive group, so you have a good handle on these guys. So if you put, here's a picture in terms of matrices. So unipotent representations look like this. Your group can be conjugated into something like that. Here, if you choose the right basis, it'll look like this. You'll have zeros here. Now, in these blocks here, these correspond to the graded quotients. I'll just put, you have rho, something that factors through rho, right? And then you can put any junk you like up here. I mean, maybe I should put rho lambda where lambda is some rep V lambda 1, V lambda 2. But these are irreducible representations of R. Anyway, so, and so this is a Tanakian category. It has an obvious forgetful function. Just take the underlying vector space, it's faithful, you have tensor products, duals, so G is just equal to the relative completion is pi 1 of T with this, with respect to the standard fiber functor. And I'll make, I'm not going to go in this direction, but I will, well, so G, G, R plus, or N plus R, equals the SP G completion of gamma G, N plus R. And so G equals zero. Yeah. So I should have, I'll point out again, when R is the trivial group, this is just unipotent completion. So G equals zero, G, zero, N plus R, this is just unipotent completion. And so this is something that you're all used to, these are break groups. G equals one is lecture four. G equals 2, strangely enough, is
It's not...
It used to be totally mysterious, but there's a guy called Dan Peterson who did all the stuff that's known about the language program, and we know about half of what we want to know. The problem is not the N plus R, the problem is the genome. And this one has something to do with modular forms. The answer is sort of surprising and complicated, and g greater than or equal to 3, we have explicit presentations. So, I did g greater than or equal to 6 a long time ago, and then a couple of years ago, people were asking whether the mapping class groups were Kähler, so I did 3, 4, and 5. I mean, it's sort of an exercise. So, and I've always thought, an advertisement, that these should be interesting to representation theorists. But nobody didn't.
So two, genus 2 is supposed to be different, or I just don't know yet?
Okay, so think about what these groups are. These are Bray groups. This guy here is actually an arithmetic group. None of these are arithmetic. But you should think of moduli spaces. So these are fundamental groups of moduli spaces. So these are hyperplane complements. So in some sense, they're relatively trivial. This is genus 1 as they're modular curves. This guy here, it's very closely related to A2. That's why this Langlands type stuff coming in. These ones here are very different. In some sense, mapping class groups get more rigid as the genus goes up, which allows you to do some things here. They get both easier and more difficult. There are lots of questions we can't answer in high genus that we can't answer in low genus. But I don't know if that helps or not.
What did you say about
G equals 2 case? A2, what was that? Oh, sorry, A2 is the moduli space of abelian varieties. So A2 is basically connected with the group SP. What some people call SP4Z. So I will say something. I will try to explain this. That's my goal in lecture 4, is to explain this and explain what it has to do with things like associators and so on. And by the way, the tangent vectors are necessary because, as I understand associators, you're taking paths between one tangent vector and another. So for example, in the classical case, you're looking at paths from this tangent vector to that tangent vector in P1. Right? And there are arithmetic reasons why you're forced to use tangential base points. Okay, so I'm up to lecture 2. That's the end of lecture 1. Lecture 2. All right, so maybe I'll clean the board. So this is a fresh start. So if you don't like that stuff here, we've got something new to you to dislike. So one reason I use Tanakian junk is because I have to explain Hodge theory to you, at least Hodge theory. So, mixed Hodge theory for, I'll say, non-specialists. And I would cringe if Jolene were in the audience. You may like this, you may not like it. All right, but I'm going to give you the definition of Hodge structures. So maybe I'll make a beginning remark. So the semi-simple part of the theory, the semi-simple, representations of reductive groups are semi-simple or completely reducible. Part of the theory is going to be Hodge structures. And that I can give you I can explain. And there's an important point here, the difference between tape and non-tape. It's like the difference between the trivial group and something that has rank at least one. And the other part is the unipotent part, extensions, mixed Hodge structures. Mixed Hodge structures. The mixed thing is extensions. And to me, when I stare at the KC associator and all these multi-zeta values, they're periods of extensions. They're periods of mixed Hodge structures. They're telling you things are not semi-simple. So they're dealing with the unipotent part. You know, if we go back here, we've got G, S, P, H, 1, U, 1. This is the semi-simple part. This is the pure part. And this is the extension data. And these moduli spaces have wrapped up in them really complicated stuff. And this is not what I was saying next, but not in the notes. There's a theorem that sometimes gets attributed to the wrong people, but it goes back. I think Mumford knew it, but it was proved by Hara and Ivanov. Certain connectivity theorems about the moduli space of curves, which in this context tell you that everything is coming from the a few moduli spaces, M04, M05. All the moduli spaces of dimension 2 or less, M11 and M12. And so somehow there's a key, but this stuff's got something to do with how you get this stuff out of this is still totally mysterious. So Hodge structures. A Q Hodge structure. So all my Hodge structures will be Q Hodge structures. You could also put R here if you want. V of weight, they all have a weight. So, and this theory gets really confusing because we're going to have four different notions of weight that drive you nuts. There's going to be representation theoretic weight of SL2. There's weight as a Hodge structure. There's weight as a modular form. And they're all different. And there's going to be another weight filtration. All right, so of weight M is a Q vector space. Of a finite dimensional Q vector space. V, and I'll call it VQ, together with, and a filtration of a complexification. So when I put this C down here, I mean, I've just extended scalars. Okay, so it will be, I don't know, F, M, I don't want it to be M, that's the word, bad choice. Let's just say FA of V contain FA plus 1 of V contain, it's a decreasing filtration, so FB of V equals 0. It's a decreasing filtration of the complexification. Again, sort of part of the theme of these lectures is filtrations versus gradients. And this is called the Hodge filtration. And I'm not going to say a huge amount. I'm going to do it because it's somehow what's lurking in the background here. And so these satisfy VC is equal to the direct sum. So the weight's got to come in somewhere, HP. P plus Q equals M of F P V intersect F Q bar V. And so why do we have complex conjugation? You've got to think here V C is equal to V, I'm just going to write it like this way, V R tensor C, and complex conjugation is just that thing here. And so that's it. Right? So I'll give you the canonical example in a second. So this thing here is typically denoted VPQ. So P plus Q equals the weight. So this is going to be the sum P plus Q equals M of VPQ. And you have the condition that VPQ bar equals VQP. So obviously when you stare at this one.
All right.
So what about, I'll give you an example in a second, but what about morphisms? I'll just dispense with that. It's enough to just say that...
sorry, this stupid question. So this is what, do you consider this C as a real vector space or a complex vector space?
No, this is a complex vector space. Let me give the example. It'll become clear if I give you an example. So let's take...
Could you tell us what N is?
Sorry?
Is it, you fixed an N here, or...?
No, I said I have a hot structure of weight M. Every hot structure is... Let me give you an example, because I think that'll help. And then I'll tell you what morphisms are. This is the canonical example. This is where it all comes from. So we're going to take X equals smooth projective variety over C, or a compact Kähler manifold. But, and if you don't like this, e.g. a compact Riemann surface, is an example, or you know, smooth projective curve over C. And now, so we're going to say that, by the way, up here, the filtration gives you the grading. You can go back. You also just note that FPV is equal to the direct sum of S greater than or equal to P of VS M minus S. So the grading is equivalent to the filtration. You say, well, why did I bother you with this grading? Because in the mixed case, there's not a useful, there's a gray, I could say a lot of things, but there are many comments. But it goes back to an old result of Griffiths that said, these guys vary holomorphically in certain situations, so these should vary anti-holomorphically. And you want these guys to vary holomorphically, or in fact algebraically, which they do. When you vary this example, if you vary the complex structure on X. All right, so I'm going to take V is going to be HM of X cubed. You can see the weight is just the degree. And what's VPQ? So VPQ is what's known as HPQ.
X is defined by Q, right?
Sorry?
Oh, so this is another.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so here P plus Q. I can tell I gave you a lot less information in the last hour than this one. I'm getting any questions. Okay. So VPQ, this is defined to be, it's okay, so if you're on a complex manifold and you have local holomorphic coordinates, Z1, Zn, right? Then you have a basis of the differential forms, DZ1 of the one forms, DZn, DZ1 bar, DZn bar, right? Every complex valued differential form is a C infinity linear combination of these guys, right? So if you look at a form of degree m, you're going to get DZJ1 wedge DZJ, you could get something like this, wedge DZK1 wedge bar, wedge DZ bar K. I didn't intend to say this, but this is what's called the form of type PQ. All the C infinity forms can be written as C infinity linear combinations of these guys, and this is of type PQ. And so this is equal to closed PQ forms. So that means they determine an element of cohomology by the Durham theorem, modulo exact by anything PQ forms. So it's just elements of the Durham cohomology represented by closed PQ forms. And it's not true that for any complex manifold that you can write everything as a sum of things of type PQ. Very classic. Anyway, and so that's it. And so the Hodge theorem, which actually I mentioned to somebody, I was a big fan of Durand, because I did Durand theory, and I didn't realize he was alive, otherwise I would have come, at some point that I could have come, I would have come to meet him. And I always, at one point I chased the history of his theorem, and I thought Durand was sloppy and Hodge was careful. But it turned out to be the other way around. I actually looked at Durand's thesis, and it's actually a really, really beautiful piece of work. And Hodge's theorem, when he proved it, he got the theorem right, he got the proof very wrong. But it didn't matter. The parts that were new, he got right. The parts that were sort of 20 years old mathematics, he got completely wrong. And there's papers of him in Weil, sort of reprimanding him.
So wait, Durand is still alive?
Sorry?
Durand is alive, really?
No. Sorry,
You're referring to... Okay.
I graduated in 1980, okay. and I learned at some point when Durand died that he died, but I'd had several options where I could have met him.
Okay.
That's what I mean. No, I know he's not alive. But, yeah. So, anyway, the Hodge theorem says that Hm of x, c, is equal to the direct sum of h, p, q, x. P plus q equals m. And, this is a non-trivial theorem. And it lies at the start of all this stuff. And this, if you have any holomorphic map between complex manifolds, it will preserve this decomposition. These things are very rigid. You can't map hm of x to hm minus 1 of y, if y is smooth and projective, because you violate all these conditions. So these make these things very rigid. So, and so morphisms. So for a Riemann surface, maybe just to really beat this in, so if you have a curve, so you have something like this, it has to be compact. H1 of this guy is equal to H10 plus H01. And if you had to really beat it into the ground, if you take, and this is an example that's relevant to us, if we take x to be equal to c mod a lattice, so that looks like it's a torus, and you get that h1 of x equals c times dz plus c times dz bar, and this is equal to h10, that's this guy, plus h01, that's that guy. Morphisms. So these preserve one, the Q structure, the underlying, it's a map of the underlying Q vector spaces, and two, the Hodge filtration. It's enough to say it preserves the Hodge filtration, or equivalently, the bigrating. Alright, so we would like these guys to be a Tanakian category, but that's problematic because what happens if I take something of weight 1 and add it to something of weight 2? And so we need direct sums. So I'm going to call direct sums of Hodge structures semi-simple mixed Hodge structures. So these are just mixed in the most stupid way. These are just direct sums of Hodge structures of various weights. By the way, I should say somewhere
and I may not have done this, I did it somewhere in the notes, but I did it too late. There are very important hot structures denoted QMN. These are the hot structures of Tate, and these are defined to be, well, the underlying vector space is Q, and the decomposition would be V PQ, and it's of weight. This is confusing at first. They're of weight minus 2n, so the complexification is V minus n minus n. And everything in genus 0 is Tate. Okay? And so that's where P and Q are equal. I want to stress this because these guys are much simpler. I mean, they may be complicated, but they're much simpler. So when you start looking at higher genus, like the elliptic curve, you get HPQ where P's and Q's are not equal. They're much harder to write down. So, and I'll just do it here. We're going to define a weight filtration. These are going to be, suppose you had, so V is going to be just the direct sum of Vj, and Vj is weight, it's a Hodge structure of weight Nj. And so how would we define, so the weight filtration is going to go from 0 equal to, say, R of V, all that way up to, say, WS of V equals V. And we can filter, this is going to be defined over Q. And you just take the particular part of the weight filtration is just going to be the stuff of smaller weight. So WMVQ is just equal to the sum of the VJ such of the J such that MJ is equal to or less than M. Right? You just add up the things of smaller weight. I'm putting it here that it's serving no useful purpose here. This thing's totally split. It's a direct sum. But later, in the mixed case, we're going to have a weight filtration, and there's going to be extension data. And so getting used to this notion of weight is good. Okay, so...
But at the moment, the Hodge filtration also just comes from a direct
sum. Maybe I'll make that explicit. So VP, FP of VC is going to be the direct sum of FP of the VJs. And you could also write the direct sum over the J's of the just the VP to anything. That doesn't matter. It's silly. Yeah, it's just that. Okay? So, now there's another thing I have to put in here, and normally people suppress it, except it's extremely important, and I'm going to bring it up. No, because actually there's something, and I'll mention it later, that I believe this is actually very relevant. And it should be something that group theorists like. In order to make this category Tanakian, we have to make sure that if I had a short exact sequence of, say, V1, V2, V3, of Hodge structures all of the same weight, that it splits. And you can't do that. You need something else. And that something else is an inner product. And the inner product is called a polarization. So I'm not going to dwell on this, but we've already got, there's something I'm doing with Francis where we've used the polarization a couple of times. So, so a polarization of a hot structure V of
weight M is a bilinear form, is a minus 1 to the M symmetric bilinear form. Now, this is a fancy way of saying it's symmetric when the weight is even and it's skew symmetric when it's odd. I should put it's non-degenerate. And it has to satisfy. So this is just going to be an abstraction of the Riemann bilinear. The Riemann-Hodge bilinear relation, so they generalize vastly, and they're actually not easy to prove in higher dimensions, but this is what they are. You have to have the UV equals zero if U is in VPQ. This is unless V is in V. So here, P plus Q is the weight. Right? So if you've got a hot structure, you know, H20 plus H11 plus H02, these guys pair non-trivially with these guys pair with themselves, right? And otherwise, these guys are orthogonal to all of these guys. You have to have the sum, when you do this, the sum of the P and the Q here and the R and the S here have to add up to MM. Okay, anyway, I don't get too bogged down in this. This is the important part, the pairing S, which takes VPQ tensor itself into C. So S of U, and I'm going to write it as S of UV is going to be equal to, again, the details for U won't matter. If you have two guys in the same place, you flip this guy over to be in the opposite place. If you have two guys in here, you leave one in here, flip the other one over here. Now you can apply this polarization. It'll be a complex number multiplied by this power of I, and this guy has to be positive definite Hermitian. And the example on a Riemann surface is if you pair two holomorphic one forms, you take this is familiar. X equal compact Riemann surface. And you take omega 1 and omega 2, a holomorphic differentials on X, so that's equal to H10. And S of omega 1, omega 2 is equal to I times the integral over X of omega 1 and H omega 2 bar. We know this is a Hermitian form, it's a standard positive definite Hermitian form. Alright, so why do we need this? And significance, and I guess in the interest of time I'm not going to do it. The significance is this, if V is a Hodge structure of weight M, and A contained in V is a sub-Hodge structure. Oh, people get mad, and it's a Hodge substructure. People object to saying sub-Hodge structure. I mean, like you're beneath Hodge or something. But okay, then so what happens is a polarized. It doesn't matter what the polarization is, as long as you've got one. You just have to know that one exists. Then one is the polarization restricted to A is non-general. Is a polarization of A. It follows from this condition here, because the APQs will be containing VPQ. This is a positive definite Hermitian form, so everything works just fine. And two, A perp is a Hodge substructure. So this is giving us the semi-simplicity of pure Hodge structures. So this implies that semi-simplicity. They're all complete. You can write them as direct sums of simples, right? Every Hodge structure, every Q Hodge structure, I'll say it here. Every Q Hodge structure, polarized Hodge structure of weight, M is a direct sum of simple Hodge structures. And a geometric statement of this, a special case, is that every abelian variety is up to isogeny is a product of simple abelian varieties. For those that know what that means. So it's, although this stuff's all formal, it's got, there's a lot of content. And I should say, all Hodge structures coming from geometry are polarized. All Hodge structures coming from geometry, are polarizable. The polarization is not unique. As long as you've got one, you need it for this reason. It allows you to split off. It allows you to decompose Hodge structures. So, Tanaka. So the semi-simple, the category MHS semi-simple of semi-simple Hodge structures is Tanakian. And every object is a direct sum of simples. So, and what's the fiber functor? V equals VQ, F dot goes to VQ. Mm-hmm. And this is faithful because morphisms are just defined in terms of morphisms of the underlying guy. And so this says that MHS semi-simple is equal to rep of some group of pi 1 MHS semi-simple. And this property over here tells you that this group is reductive. Because every object of this category is a direct sum of simples. Okay? So if this stuff, if you're a bit lost, just all you need to remember is this guy here. The category of direct sums of mixed Hodge structures that come from geometry is reductive, a pro-reductive group. All right, so what about mixed Hodge structures? I realize this is painful, but...
Sorry, so the what was the M in the category, in the name of the category here?
Yeah, so I think I wrote before, mixed type structure. Mixed means you have more than one weight.
Okay.
You're mixing weights, and because I just took direct sums of type structure, so no extensions, I put semi-simple.
But then they use pure, is the same?
Sorry?
Pure, is the same as mixed?
No, because pure would mean they're all of the same weight.
I see.
But if I add a weight one guy to a weight seven guy, that's semi-simple, but it's not pure.
Sorry, what's the stupid question, but now, how is it, so this group is probably active, and what is it?
Oh, it's, I mean, if you look at, if for real Hodge structures, I think for Q it's just impossible. I don't know. You could look at some people with Dalene, but R Hodge structures, it's called the Dalene group. It's written S, and it's equal to the restriction from C to R of GM. This is easy to see. This is an exercise. Because it basically, for real Hodge structures, you just have to say we have the. So S. R is going to be C star, and Z acts on VPQ by Z to the P, Z bar to the Q. So you can do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, for Q, it will be very easy stage, it will be very easy.
Sorry?
If you're
over Q, I think it's. I've never thought about it, but. This remark is that a lot of these conjectures, like the Bailenson conjectures, reduce to things about real Hodge structures. They sort of claim you lose no information by going from R as Q to R. So, and actually, the brilliant, I mean, I'm not a number theorist, but sort of, years ago when I was doing polylogarithms, I'd go to these talks and get all these talks about silly things like L function. You know, you hear all these conjectures and they say they will never touch my life. When you work out this elliptic curve thing, everything aligns perfectly with all these conjectures. It makes me sort of believe in the religion of number theory. All right, so what about... Okay, so far I've avoided really telling you what mixed type structures are. And I'm going to kind of tell you now, but I really care most about the...
In principle, we got the time we can probably go a little bit over, right?
I did leave my suitcase in my room. I told them. It's all packed, so they can just keep it. All right. So, mixed type structures. So, this is, and I'm going to do Q mixed type structures. And they're going to be a Tanakian category. And so, what is it? A Q mixed type structure is V. I'm going to write it like this. V is going to be a rational vector space with two filtrations, a W dot and an F dot. By the way, I use this convention that Dalene introduced and doesn't always use himself. A lower dot means increasing and an upper dot means decreasing. And it's good hygiene to use this. So what do you have? So W dot is the weight filtration. And it's a filtration of, it's increasing, and it's a weight filtration of V cubed. So it's defined over Q. So you're going to have W equals, say, WA VQ up to, say, WB VQ. Maybe I should say WA plus 1, and so on. It's increasing. And you're going to have a decreasing Hodge filtration. So F dot is the Hodge filtration, and it's defined, it's decreasing. So you're going to start out with VC equals, say, FM, F whatever, FL contains FL plus 1 contains, and so on down to, say, F. What's a letter? T equals 0. Right? And actually, here it's defined over C, but in arithmetic situations, and whether we like it or not, I resisted this, you really should be doing Q Betty, so this is readily like topology, ordinary, and this should be a filtration of the Q Durham cohomology. But because we're talking in generalities, we've got to do this over C. And I'm not going to do that other junk. All right, so, and so what you require, and so VQ is finite dimensional over Q. This guy here is called the weight filtration, and it's, in the case of semi-simple guys, it's exactly what I defined. And this is a Hodge filtration. And the main axiom, maybe the only axiom, is that if you, okay, so I'm going to use this notation, each GRWM of V. So what does this mean? So the indices in the weight filtration are down, that's telling you which filtration. So this is, this means V, WMV or WM minus 1V. So is a Hodge structure together with its filtration, and this is why we care about the Hodge filtration, with the induced F dot is a Hodge structure of weight M. And so examples any semi-simple mixed Hodge structure. If I didn't, if they weren't mixed Hodge structures, there'd be something, huh? And now,
do we still assume this stuff is all polarized? Or?
Okay, so not yet, but I want these to be graded polarizable. Mm-hmm. I want each, there doesn't have to be a polarization on V, but there needs to be, you need to be able to find one on any graded quotient. But it doesn't matter which one, as long as you've got one. And so, and so the theorem of Deligne is that any complex variety, complex algebraic variety, it can be singular, it can be non-compact. And it says that H dot XQ has a canonical and so it has a weight filtration, a Hodge filtration. The Hodge filtration tends to be reflect geometry. It moves when you move the complex structure and so on. And it's and all operations, the cut products, the morphism and so on. Morphisms here are defined in the obvious way. Maps of Q vector spaces that preserve both filtrations. And there's a lot more you can say here, not going to say. And these are graded polarizable.
Excuse me, what is that? Any complex?
Sorry?
Any complex, what answer that?
Complex, yeah, that's an algebraic. And here are some cases you should care about. The notable cubic, so topologically that's this guy here. So the notable cubic. And you can take, why did I write that name? Anyway, this one's very boring because it's here, H1 of this guy, C, is equal to, it's Q of 0. And I'll give you a hint as to why, because
this guy, the dual graph of this curve, is just a graph. It comes, all the cohomology comes from a point. And a point has lots of theory. This is a type theory. Gradient polarized. All right, so what's the next thing I want to say is I want to say, so MHS equals the category of graded polarizable MHS. Okay, so that means they're mixed type structures and every graded, every weight graded quotient admits a polarization. And this guy here is Tanakian. Because you can take every mixed Hodge structure to its underlying Q vector space. And so, and so you've got, right, so you have pi 1 of M, and you have MHS semi-simple is contained in MHS. And this is a full subcategory. Because any morphism here is also a morphism in here. And so pi 1 of MHS, omega, is going to map to pi 1 MHS semi-simple into 1. And I've pointed out this guy here is pro-reductive. So every representation of this group is semi-simple. It'll decompose into a direct sum of simples. And there's a unipotent radical here. This guy here is going to be unipotent. Okay, so let me tell you where I'm driving. I want to explain splittings, which I think, I mean, to work in non-Tate sitting, you have to understand this. Okay.
So in the theorem, can you say when
this will
be semi-simple?
Ah, okay, so if it's pure, it has to be semi-simple. It's very rare in geometry that mixed Hodge structures split, you know, direct sum of their weight graded quotients. Where one really important case is if I take H1 of M11, the moduli space of elliptic curves, and I take coefficients in, say, left to one. This is going to be the standard local system coming from this guy here. It's an extension, but it splits. But the reason it splits is because of a very special reason. It's the existence of the Hecker algebra. So I'm saying this guy is a mixed Hodge structure that splits, but it splits because there's a another structure, namely the action of the Hecker algebra. But in general, if you take a random variety, so if I take a singular curve like this, and I look at its normalization, like that, I'll get 2 points here, so I desingularize it. So then you get an exact, let me call it C and C twiddle, and I look at H1 of C, it maps to H1 of C. Yeah, H1 of C equals H1 of C tilde with these 2 points. Not to be confused with the peak composition. And so you can put this in an exact sequence, and that sequence does not split. The extension data is the divisor class of P minus Q in Jacobian. And if you want the Q structure, it's the divisor class of P minus Q in the Jacobian modulo portion.
But if you take increase most projects
of variety,
as you explained.
Oh, yeah, it's pure. So, and there are more statements. If X is smooth, the weights exceed the degree. If it's singular and projective, they are below. And if it's general, you can get above and below. So,
But most extensions are non-trivial unless there's a good reason. All right, so this is pro-reductive. Right, this guy's unipotent, and this guy tells you about extensions. Non-trivial extensions.
Okay.
So this, all right, so if you understand nothing else at all, let me, this is the main point of what I want to say. So, there, this group here,
yeah.
So this is a map from mixed pod structures, semi-simple, integrated vector spaces. So what do you need to know a graded vector space? It's really the same pi 1 of this category is Gm. Right? Because here, you just take, this is really a graded vector space where every graded piece is a Hodge structure. And so here, you'll get a map in the opposite direction into pi 1 of MHS semi-simple. Right? And that, this is a co-character. So this is a co-character. And it's in fact central. If you think about it, it's because the simple modules here are the simple Hodge structures, and every simple Hodge structure has a single weight. And that tells you this co-character is simple. And now, the next thing is that so when I finish splitting, we'll stop and pick the thing. So if you stare at a mixed Hodge structure, you see that if you think about it, you can only, if you have an extension of one Hodge structure by another, this guy has to have lower weight than this guy to get a non-trivial extension. You can only extend by things of lower weight. And what that's going to say is the following. You have, first of all, suppose I have an extension like this.
Possibly a trivial question, well, why not by the same weight as well?
That's the, okay, they're the same weight, they'd be Hodge structures of the same weight, and then by graded polarizability, you can split it. That's why you need it, to stop getting non-trivial extensions by things of the same weight. And that's absolutely key. That's why I... okay, suppose I have this here, then I know that G acts on U by conjugation, so it acts on the homology, or I'm going to write homology here, U. Homology or cohomology, it doesn't matter. It acts on this, but every group acts trivially on its own homology, so you're getting a map from G mod U into here. So that says the homology of this is a module of R, right? So here, what we have is we have pi 1 mixed Hodge structure semi-simple. It acts on what of all the homology or cohomology of the unipotent radical. So first of all, it says this guy's a split. Here's an example of something that's split. Naturally split, that can have various weights. But something else is going on here. We've got this Gm in here. And this guy maps into here. So this guy, this is going to tell you that H1 of the unipotent radical, it is equal to a direct sum of weight spaces under this Gm action. I'll write it like this. Right? And this property up here tells you these n's have to be strictly negative. So this is a key point. If you want to do an exercise, do this one. The fact that you can only extend objects, get non-trivial extensions with objects of lower weight, is exactly equivalent to saying that H1 of U is negatively weighted. So years ago, Makoto Matsumoto and I wrote a paper about negatively weighted extensions. All right. So, so the next step is I want to talk about splitting. Sorry, let me just get this done. Sorry. I don't want to come back to the splittings. So, we have
let me go back up to this thing here. So Levy's theorem says if you have an extension of a reductive group by a unipotent group, you can split it. And any two splittings are conjugate by an element of U. So you can, if we had this GM in here, we can just restrict this extension, G restricted to GM, into U, and we can take a splitting of it, and it'll be unique up to conjugation by U. So let's do that. So Levy, you've got pi, you've got 1 into U into pi 1 of MHS into pi 1 MHS semi-simple into 1. We've got this central co-character chi. But we can lift it to a character here. It lifts, chi twiddles. This is not unique. And it's not central in general. No, here it's definitely not central. Alright, that's unique up to conjugation by this. And so what I explained it differently in the notes, but I'm just going to tell you the result. So what this tells you is this. That means if you have any representation of this group, it has a GM action. Not a canonical one, but it has a GM action up to the action of U. Right? So let's take V to be equal to any mixed Hodge structure. So we know that pi 1 of MHS acts on this. Right? Okay. And in here we have chi twiddle. From GM. And so what does that do? So all of this guy here feeds you into a splitting. Well, it tells you that V is the direct sum over N and Z of some VNs. This is the weight space under the action of this GM. And it's an exercise, I sort of more or less do it in the notes, is that W, and I can do this, even VQ is equal to this, right? And the WM of VQ is going to be the direct sum of the N equal to or less than M of the VN. So I've split the weight filtration. This is extremely important. When you do a lot of this stuff, you write down in genus 0, you're using some canonical splitting of the weight filtration. But I want to say, okay, and...
But right, we have different choices for this cylinder, so then this one really doesn't include the filtration.
Yeah. So suppose you chose... bad man. Suppose you chose a splitting and I chose a splitting. I might get up and triangular wrong. I mean, so the matrix that relates them will look like this, where the unipotent part is negatively weighted. That's the importance of this kernel being negatively weighted. It says your splitting and mine will give the same filtration, but there'll be different splittings. Now I want to make, so that's saying the weight filtration of every mixed Hodge structure can be split. And I want to say it's a natural splitting, but not a canonical splitting. When I've made that point, you can eat. Okay, so, no, but it's extremely important. That's something I, a problem I run into with referees. So this way, just in case anyone's going to referee me. Alright, so suppose, let's just take the general situation, I've got this character chi from GM into here. This is equal to pi 1 dimension. Right? And now, every object in this category is a representation of this group, right? And that means if I have any map from V1, V into V prime, this, it will be GM equivariant, according to this character, right? That means the splittings correspond. So I can use the same splitting everywhere, right? So it's natural. So this implies the splitting, this is GM equivariant. Means the splitting is natural. Meaning every morphism in the category preserves the splitting, but it is not a canonical splitting because I can change this by conjugating it by U, get a different splitting that's completely natural. So that unless you have, there are situations where you have a canonical chi tilde, like in the mixed tape case, there's a canonical chi tilde, there's no canonical splitting. That's the point I want to make. And this is why non-tape stuff has got a very different flavor. So I'll stop there. So that's my little rant. Okay, let's eat.
Thanks a lot.